भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं कृष्ण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 2 अजामिल डिलीवर्ड बाय द विष्णु दूतस. There is a summary of this chapter, we will read that, and then we will read the verse. In this chapter, the text 1, Shri Badarayani Uvacha, Evam Te Bhagvaduta, Yamaduta Bhibhashitam. उपधार्यात तान राजन प्रत्याहुर्नयको विदां. श्री बादरायण उवाच एवन्ते भगवद्दूता यमदूता विभाषितम् उपधार्यात तान राजन प्रत्याहुर्नयको विदां. Translation: Shukadev Goswami said, "My dear king, the servants of Lord Vishnu are always very expert in logic and arguments. After hearing the statements of the Yamadutas, they replied as follows." There is no purpose, so therefore we'll read the second verse. Text 2. Shri Vishnu Duta Uchu. Atho kashtam dharma drusham adharma sprushate sabham yatra dandeshu apapeshu dando yar dhriyate vritha. The Vishnu Duta said, "Alas, how painful it is that irreligion is being introduced into an assembly where religion should be maintained. Indeed, those in charge of maintaining the religious principles are needlessly punishing a sinless, unpunishable person, Prabhupada, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada." The Vishnudutas accuse the Yamadutas of violating the religious principles by attempting to drag Ajamil to Yamaraj for punishment. Yamaraj is the officer appointed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to judge religious and irreligious principles and to punish people who are irreligious. However, if completely sinless people are punished, the entire assembly of Yamaraj is contaminated. This principle applies not only in the assembly of Yamaraj, but throughout human society also. In human society, properly maintaining religious principles is a duty of the king's court or the government. Unfortunately, in this Yuga, Kali Yuga, the religious principles are tampered with, and the government cannot properly judge who is to be punished and who is not. It is said that in the Kali Yuga, if one cannot spend money in court, one cannot get justice. Indeed, in courts of justice, it is often found that magistrates are bribed for favorable judgments. Sometimes religious men who preach the Krishna consciousness movement for the benefit of the entire populace are arrested and harassed by the police and courts. The Vishnudutas, who are Vaishnavas, lamented for these very regrettable facts. Because of their spiritual compassion for all the fallen souls, Vaishnavas go out to preach according to the standard method of all religious principles, but unfortunately, because of the influence of Kali Yuga, Vaishnavas who have dedicated their lives to preaching the glories of the Lord are sometimes harassed and punished by courts on false charges of disturbing the peace. Timirandhasyam Jnananjana Shalakayam. Hare Krishna. So in these two verses, we can see that Shukadeva Goswami is explaining this story to Parikshit Maharaj, and now he is telling him that what was the stand of Vishnudutas. Or after Yamudutas explain why Ajamil has to be punished, they had various reasons. They were also expert in analyzing all the sinful activities Ajamil had performed. And in the previous chapter, we could see that they have listed so many of his sinful activities for which he is subjected to so many sinful reactions in various hellish places. And some of them were like, he was so sinful, he performed so many sinful activities, kill people, rob them. Then they said that he ate the food of this prostitute, and by eating such contaminated food, he was unclean. And over and above that, he did not atone for his sinful activities. That is the last statement they said. That because for so many sinful activities one may perform unknowingly or knowingly, and the scriptures like Manu Sahita, Dharma Shastra scriptures are there, it is explained that one must atone for this sinful activities. And according to Manu Sahita, it is explained that a murderer has to be hanged. Previously, that was the punishment given to a murderer. If someone is found killing another person or even another animal, he is to be hanged. That was a strict rule. And the government would see that these things are followed. And therefore, people would be fearful of committing any sinful activities, because they knew that this would be the reaction. And therefore, even by fearfully, they were following the laws of the government. And if someone is found killing animal or doing some sinful activities, then he is killed or his hands are chopped off, so that he doesn't commit such sinful activity again. And Srila Prabhupada explains that this is another form of mercy of the government. The government is merciful to such sinful people that they are giving them this punishment. Why? Because if they do not atone in this life, then they may have to suffer many, many times in the next lives. So therefore, it is better that they get reaction in this life and they are freed from that sinful activities and they do not have to again suffer in the next lives. That was the system. But of course, as the Kali Yuga is progressing, we can see that government is becoming more and more atheistic. People do not have faith in the existence of God. And therefore, they feel that this type of explanations given in the scriptures, like descriptions of hellish planet, these are all mythology. This is written by some person. And therefore, they do not follow the instructions given in scriptures. And what is the result because of that? People are becoming more and more sinful. And their path to hellish conditions is wide open. They're going towards hellish places. And here, Yamadutas were saying that this Ajamil did not atone for his sinful activities. So therefore, he is liable to be taken to Yamaraj, where all his sinful activities will be analyzed, and then according to each sinful activity he has performed in his life, he will be getting suitable punishments. So that was the statement by the Yamadutas. They said their verdict. And of course, when Parikshit Maharaj was hearing this narration, in the beginning when he was hearing the descriptions of the hellish planets, their various types of sufferings in those places, he was very much compassionate. And he asked Shukadeva Goswami that how these people can be saved from such horrible reactions. And at the time, Shukadeva Goswami explained various methods. He explained that one should develop knowledge, because if someone has knowledge of these reactions, then one will become naturally moral and at least try to rectify himself from committing such sinful activities. Of course, Parikshit Maharaj was not satisfied. Then he explained more that one should atone for this, atone for the sinful activities which he had performed, and then he will be freed. So when he was speaking like this, that time Parikshit Maharaj was hearing attentively, and he explained that atonement is also some kind of fruitive activity, because you try to counteract sinful activity with some good activity. That's also fruitive. And he says that, according to me, it is like Kunjara Shauchapat. It is like an elephant's bath. Elephant goes in the water and takes very nice bath. But as soon as he comes out, he sees the dirt and throws dirt all over his body. So what is the use of such bath? So afterwards, Shukadeva Goswami, he understands that yes, he hearing attentively. He was testing Parikshit Maharaj. And then he explained the other methods, that one should develop knowledge, one should perform austerities, tapasya brahmacharyena shamena cha damena cha thyagena satya saucha brahman. One should be always truthful, clean. And then he explained that one should, if one wants to become free from all such sinful reactions, then one should take shelter of a pure devotee of the Lord and serve Supreme Lord Krishna. And in this way, when he takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of God, his representative, and obeys the order, whatever instructions are given to him, then he will be freed from all such reactions. He doesn't have to suffer. And this will save one from all sinful reactions. And one doesn't have to perform any kind of atonement, because he is following the instructions of spiritual master, who is a bona fide representative of the Supreme Lord. As soon as one is performing any activity under that direction, then the laws of this mental world do not apply to him. That is the subtleties of devotional service. And here Vishnudutas are explaining that to Yamadutas, that it is not proper that you are punishing Ajamil. You are thinking that he has performed so many sinful activities and for that he has to be suffered. But while he was in that helpless condition, he chanted the name of Lord Narayan in a helpless state. And it was like Namabhas, glimpse of the holy name. And that name is so powerful that now he has become freed from all his sinful activities, not only of this life, but of many, many lives before. And therefore, he is now pure. And he should be taken to Vaikuntha Loka. That was his statement. Vishnudutas were also expert in logic and arguments. Shukadeva Goswami is explaining here that they were also expert in logic and arguments. Because when after the Yamadutas gave their statements, they started arguing, proving the case that how Ajamil is sinless. Just like in court, somebody is sinful, then they take the lawyers, that some lawyer explains that he is sinful, someone says no, he is sinless. So in this way it goes on in the material world. But the laws of the material nature are perfect. No one can escape. He may be a very expert person committing sinful activities. Nobody knows that he is committing sinful activities. And he may escape the laws of this material or the government, any state laws. But he cannot escape the laws of the material nature. There nobody can bribe Yamaraj or Yamadutas that please take some money and please save me from these reactions. Here Srila Prabhupada is explaining the condition of this material world. What is happening? That here a sinless person is punished and sinful person is is left outside and he is again committing sinful activities. This is going on. But Yamaraj is also not an ordinary person. Yamaraj is one of the 12 Mahajanas, pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. And he is performing this thankless task of punishing people. Devotees usually do not like to punish someone or see that someone is suffering. But sometimes, like Yamaraj, they have to take that position of maintaining law and order. And here Yamaraj is following that. And his all the assistant, they had to see that how many people are committing sinful activity in this material world. They had to keep check on everything and then give proper punishments. Everything should be proper. Not too much, not too less. Exact punishments have to be given. There cannot be any mistake in that. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining here that however, if completely sinless people are punished, the entire assembly of Yamaraj is contaminated. Means that if he commits a mistake, even in punishing a person, then his assembly is contaminated. This principle applies not only in the assembly of Yamaraj, but throughout the human society also. We can see that if someone gets injustice, then naturally we can see that people revolt. That they see that, oh, this person has not got a proper justice. There may be campaigns and so many things may happen. Because an innocent person has to be saved. Innocent person should not be punished unnecessarily. So, that is seen in material world also, human society, Srila Prabhupada is explaining. And if such things happen in Yamaraj's court, then what will happen to common people? Vishnudutas are saying like this. Alas, how painful it is that a religion is being introduced into an assembly where religion should be maintained. Because Yamaraj is trying to maintain that religious principles, that religious people should be saved, religious people should be punished. And in that way, they have to maintain that religion. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranita. And these, they follow according to the directions of the Supreme Lord. And indeed, those in charge of maintaining the religious principles are needlessly punishing a sinless, unpunishable person. So Vishnudutas are saying that they are analyzing from a different point of view. They saw what devotional service he performed. And amongst different types of devotional service, chanting of the holy name of the Lord is said to be the topmost, kirtanam. And even in chanting, there are different levels of chanting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he wanted Haridas Thakur, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur, to glorify the holy name. He made Srila Haridas Thakur as Namacharya. And Srila Haridas Thakur is explaining the glories of the holy name. And he explains there are different levels in chanting of the holy names. Nama Prad, Nama Bhas, Shuddha Nam. These are the different stages of chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And if someone chants in the Namabhas stage, he just get a glimpse of the holy name of the Lord. Then also one is freed from all sinful activities. That is the power of the holy name. Just a mere glimpse of the chanting of the holy name, one is freed from all the sinful activities he had performed. And in that conversation, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he asked Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur to glorify the holy name of the Lord, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur, he was born in a Muslim family. But still, since his childhood, somehow or other, he was attached to chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And we could see that he was persecuted by the Muslim people there, that he is a Muslim person is chanting the holy name of the Lord, Hindus. He has become contaminated. They tried to persecute him. Then he was tested by prostitutes. Somebody tried to allure him by sending the prostitute. But still he maintained his purity, because he was attached to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to glorify Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. He told him that you explain the glories of the holy name. And of course, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Prabhu is not saying that I have chanted so many lakhs of rounds and now I attain a level of purity where I can authentically explain how holy name is powerful. But he is humbly submitting himself to Lord Chaitanya. And he is saying that today Lord, my Lord will speak through me. And in this way, he is trying to become a humble instrument in the hands of the Lord. And he is explaining that the holy name of the Lord is very, very powerful. Chanting of the holy name of the Lord, when someone chants this holy name, is love the Lord is not different from Lord Krishna himself. Krishna Surya Sam Hai Maya Hai Andhakar Yaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Adhikar. It is explained that the holy name is like the sun. And when wherever there is sun, there cannot be darkness. Wherever someone is chanting the holy name of the Lord, there cannot remain ignorance. Sinful activities, all these are vanished. And he explains that there are three stages. First is Nama Prad, then Nama Bhas, and Shuddhanam. In the Nama Prad stage, one commits aparad. There are different types of aparad he is explaining. And how the holy name is covered by different types of ignorance and anarthas. That he has explained very analytically. He explained that there are basically three types of ignorance. And because of that ignorance, one is not able to understand how powerful the holy name of the Lord is. And first he explains that one who does not know the spiritual nature of the holy name, that one who is unaware of what this spiritual name is, what the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is unaware, then he is like covered by the mist. cloud or a fog, which leads him into darkness, and he remains covered by such ignorance. Then he explains that one is unaware that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because of that, he gets attracted to worshipping different demigods, getting material benedictions from them. And he thinks that I should be pious materially like that, because he does not understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if someone is worshipping Lord Krishna, then there is no need of worshipping any other demigods, because worshipping Krishna is like watering the root of the tree. If someone is watering the root of the tree, then there is no need of watering different leaves or branches. As soon as you pour water at the root of the tree, all the branches and leaves are nourished. So this is another type of ignorance which covers a living entity. And because of that, one doesn't realize the supremacy of the Lord. And then the third is that one is ignorant of himself and the Supreme Lord and its relationship with the Supreme Lord. One doesn't know that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, spiritual in nature, and he is servant of the Supreme Lord. He is unaware of these facts. And because of that, he remains in ignorance, ajna. And therefore, in ignorance, he is not able to relish the holy name of the Lord. And then Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur explains that it is not that the holy name is covered by ignorance, but our eyes are covered with ignorance. And because of that, we are not able to get the glimpse of what is the effulgence of the holy name. So therefore, it is very important to understand all these points so that one comes to the right understanding. And when the ignorance is removed, then one can see the effulgence. One can realize that how the holy name is so powerful. So therefore, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur is explaining the glories of this holy name. And then he explaining that there are different types of anarthas which cover a living entity's heart. And because of those anarthas also, one is not able to get the glimpse of the Shuddhana, or he is not able to get even a glimpse of the holy name. And then he categorizes these into three. One is Asatrishna, then second is Hrudaya Dorbalya, and third is Apra. Asatrishna means hankering for material things, asat, which are not permanent, impermanent things of this material world. Asatrishna means he is still hankering, thirsting for such material objects. That binds him again in this material world, and he is not able to chant the holy name of the Lord in that proper consciousness. And this may be like material enjoyments, or sometimes he may desire to go to heavenly planets in the next life and enjoy more higher pleasure there. That is also another type of material hankering. And third is like one is trying to get some kind of siddhis, trying to achieve some kind of mystic perfections. Here in Krishna's Goswami explains his Chaitanya Charitamrut that bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashant Krishna bhakta nishkama ataiva shant. That those who hanker for material things in this material world, mukti kami, those who desire to attain liberation from this material world, they are now tired of suffering in this material world. They try to become liberated from all these sufferings, mukti kami or siddhi kami. Sometimes somebody wants to achieve some kind of mystic siddhis by which he is able to achieve whatever he wants. Anima, magima, lagima, siddhi. So all these type of siddhis, even if someone achieves, one is not peaceful, ashanta. Because these are all temporary things. Krishna bhakta nishkama ataiva shanta. Why the devotee of the Lord is peaceful? Because he is nishkam. He doesn't have any material desire. And therefore he is peaceful. So therefore, it is very, very important to remove these anarthas from our heart. Because as long as these anarthas are there, covering our heart, we cannot get a glimpse of the Holy Name. And this is very important to understand, because siddhis means sometimes one may achieve some kind of perfection, even one may come to spiritual life and he may attain some kind of perfection, and one may think that this is the thing I have achieved. He may bank on such things. He may be able to expertly explain all these scriptures. People may come and start worshipping him, thinking to be an exalted devotee, and he may think that, yes, I have achieved that perfection. Such kind of siddhis I have achieved. I can speak whenever I want. I have such control. So one may get allured by such perfections, even in spiritual life. Then Namachar Srila Haridas Thakur is explaining that Hrudaya Daurbalya means weakness of the heart. And this is categorizes into different things. And he explains that sometimes one is attached to trifling things unrelated to Krishna, even in spiritual life. Certain things which are not related to Krishna, but still one is attached because of Hrudaya Daurbalya. One is not able to give up such attachments. One remains into that, is still covered by that anartha. Then deceit, envy of someone else's progress. This is another dangerous anartha one has to fight. That one feels envy towards others, seeing that he or she is progressing more. That's very dangerous, because there is no position for envy in this spiritual world. For other anarthas, one may dovetail into Krishna's service somehow or other, but for envy there is no position. One cannot be envious and at the same time worship Krishna. That is not possible. So therefore, if someone is progressing in spiritual life, and we may think that, oh, why he is getting such attention and how is so much progressing, then one should realize that he is affected by this envy. But if someone feels very happy that yes, he is making progress, then one should think that now I am becoming free from this anartha. Devotees of Lord Chaitanya were very happy to see that other devotees getting mercy, because they were freed from this anartha of envy. Then longing for position and fame, that is also another type of hrudaya dauravalya. One wants to maintain particular type of position or fame because he thinks that if I lose this position, then who will ask me? Who will come to me? And therefore he is trying to, because of this weakness of the heart, he is trying to maintain such position. And fame, he wants to remain always famous. So this is another type of anartha. Then Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur is explaining that aparad. And then he again categorizes into different aparad. Offenses to Krishna himself. Seva aparad means somebody is worshipping the deity of the Lord. In that also there can be so many offenses one may commit. And in Pancharatrika Pradip, it has been very nicely compiled by our acharyas like Srila Sanatan Goswami, Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, in Hari Bhakti Vilas and many other devotional scriptures. What are different types of seva aparad one may commit? There are so many aparad, offenses one may commit while worshipping the deity of the Lord. It is very good to worship the deity of the Lord because it's very much purifying. You are directly in touch with the deity. Lord Krishna is not different from his form. Pratima nahi tumi sakshat vrachendra nandan is not different from his deity form. But still, if someone is not careful, he may commit offenses towards the deity. While dressing the deity, if one is not careful, he may prick the pains to the Lord. It's an offense. Or he may not worship the Lord in the proper consciousness. So therefore it is very, very important to maintain the purity in while worshipping the deity of the Lord. And therefore so many rules and regulations have been given. Once some devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that how many rules and regulations are there in deity worship. The time Srila Prabhupada explained that if I tell you all the intricate rules and regulations in deity worship, you will faint. There are so many rules and regulations. It is not easy to observe everything. But basically he said that you just maintain two things, punctuality and cleanliness. Even if you are able to maintain these two things, that's sufficient and Krishna will guide you how to improve more. So that is the thing. Then another aparad is to Krishna's devotees. That one may commit offense to Krishna's devotees, his representative. He may offend him in so many ways, one may offend devotee. So therefore, if someone commits such offenses towards the deity of the Lord, his devotees, or even to other living entities, one's consciousness will be covered by such anarthas. And because of that, one will not be able to get the glimpse of the holy name of the Lord. So therefore, it is very important that one remains careful and not perform such offenses? And what is the process by which one can become freed from such things? So that time Srila Namacharya Haridas Thakur explains that one should serve under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. One should follow this instruction of spiritual master, and one should know what is his position in the relation with the Supreme Lord and his material world. That is Sambandha Gyan. One should know that I am not this material body, I am spirit soul. I am an infant, very, very insignificant part of the Supreme Lord, 1/10,000 tip of the hair. And somehow there, by Krishna's grace, by spiritual master's grace, I have achieved this opportunity to engage in his service. And in that consciousness, one should serve. So that is the Sambandha Gyan. One should have that knowledge of relationship with the Supreme Lord. Then what spiritual master does? He engages one into the devotional service, Abhideya Tattva. And then he gives the holy name, and then by the instructions of the spiritual master, one is able to chant the holy name. And when he's chanting, when he's performing devotional service in that consciousness, following properly, then the process works. And then the anarthas are removed. And then one can get the glimpse of the holy name of the Lord, Namabha stage. And in that, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur is explaining there are four stages of Namabhasa. Sanketyam Parihasyam Stobam Helam. Explains that Sanket means he is chanting the name of the Lord, but within the mind the intention is different. So that is called as Sanket. So here Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur is giving the example of Ajamil. And he explained that Ajamil chanted Namabhas, and his Namabhas was also on the lower stage. There is Shraddha Namabhas, that is, one chants the holy name with complete faith in the holy name. That is the higher level of Namabhas. But even in the lower stages of Namabhas, he chanted the name of his son. Of course, his name of son happened to be the name of the Supreme Lord Narayan. Within his mind, he was calling his son, but he called his son in a helpless condition. That is called as Sanket Namabhas. And this Namabhas is so powerful that it freed him from all the sinful activities. That is how the holy name is powerful. That even in the lower stages of Namabhas, one is freed from all the sinful activities. Not only of this life, but of many, many lives before. So how powerful the holy name is when it is chanted with great faith and attention. So here means Vishnudutas are trying to save Ajamil, because they saw that he chanted in that helpless condition. And because of that, he has been already freed from all the sinful activities. And therefore, he is not to be subjected to any type of sinful reactions, but he is eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. And of course, Yamadutas did not know these subtle intricacies of chanting of the holy name. And therefore, they had to go to Yamaraj. And later on, we'll see that how Yamaraj resolves this conflict. Conflict resolution. Yamaraj has to resolve all the conflicts between Yamadutas and Vishnudutas. It's a very high level of conflict. They have to give a proper judgment to save a living entity, whether he should go to hellish conditions or he should go to Vaikuntha Loka. It's a very intricate case. And of course, Vishnudutas prove that how Ajamil is sinless. And in this way, Shukadeva Goswami is trying to glorify the holy name. He's trying to show in this canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that how Supreme Lord protects his devotees. Protection of the Supreme Lord, how he gives his protection and he protects his devotees. And in this way, he is glorifying the holy name of the Lord. And we can see that this holy name of the Lord was profusely given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without discrimination, he did not discriminate whether someone is qualified or not qualified. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and chanting, we can see that so many devotees, just by looking at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanting and dancing, they were achieving love of Godhead, the highest perfectional stage of chanting. Shuddhanam. They were going back home, back to God. So, we can see that how this holy name of the Lord is so powerful. And if we chant this holy name of the Lord in the proper consciousness, because ultimately consciousness is very important. And what consciousness we may chant? We may chant lakhs and millions of rounds throughout our lives. But still, we may maintain envy towards other devotees, then that holy name will not act. We may go to so many holy places, we may do so much deity worship or take prasad, but still that all this devotional service will not purify us if we do not chant in the proper state. So therefore, these instructions of Vishnudutas are very, very important, that we develop that proper attitude in which we take shelter of the holy name, helpless condition. Srila Prabhupada explains that how to chant the holy name. It is like the child's cry for its mother. When the child cries helplessly, then the mother comes and protects the child. So similarly, when a living entity chants in the proper consciousness, in a helpless condition, then Krishna can see that he is helplessly crying out. It is not, one cannot become a showboater devotee, that yes, externally he is posing himself to be a devotee and internally he is cultivating so many material desires. Krishna can see through us. And therefore, when we chant in that proper consciousness, at least we desire to chant. Then when Krishna detects that we have that sincere desire, then by the grace of Lord Krishna and spiritual master, he'll be able to chant in that proper state of consciousness. And at the end of the life, then we may not have to see the face of Yamadutas and we'll go back home, back to God. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? getting late quite. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Shila Prabhupada.